Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Coming to grips with the justice of God is not easy. He's seen as both loving and vengeful. But once we understand how much God hates sin and what He did for us in sending His Son to atone for that sin, things become clear. Today, more teaching on the tough subject of hell. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the mysteries of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 15 as we learn more about the justice of God.
You'll notice it says in the book of Nahum, just listen, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries and keeps wrath for His enemies. But the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and He will by no means, however, clear the guilty. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can endure the heat of His anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by Him. But the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. Well, we'll say more about that ambiguity in God from our standpoint. Good, righteous, loving, just, and vengeful. Well, here you have what is known as the seven plagues, the seven bowls of Revelation. And there are in the book of Revelation, first of all, the seals, the trumpets, and now we get to the last judgment of God on this earth. And it is terrible. You can read it on your own. I won't take the time to read it, but this is why I'm speaking about this passage on the justice of God. Verse 2, and I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had conquered the beast and his image and the number of his name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, notice now, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. Notice, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Moses, the song of Moses was sung when Moses came across the Red Sea, was a song of deliverance from Egypt, and the song of the Lamb is sung here at the Crystal Sea. As John sees the throne of God, and behind this throne, or as a foundation to this throne, he sees a sea of glass, of crystal, mingled with fire. What an event. What a vision that must have been. We know the song of Moses, Exodus chapter 15, the song of the Lamb. What's that all about? Well, remember in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, thou hast redeemed by thy blood people from every tongue and people and nation. And then it goes on to say, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who has redeemed us, and to Him be glory forever and ever. So here they are now. These saints are in heaven and they are singing the song of Moses, the triumph over Egypt, and the song of the Lamb, the triumph over sin, and the purchasing of redemption. They are melding these two songs together in honor of God. Wow. What I'd like to do now is to give you three facts regarding God's justice, since they sing about it. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What are the three facts about God's justice? Number one, Where is justice seen? It is seen in the punishment of the wicked. I'll tell you, your Bible has to be open at this point. Because you'll notice it says that in chapter 13, can you turn back there to chapter 13? We have the story of Antichrist. It says in chapter 13, verse 5, "And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven." Now notice, everyone awake at this juncture. "Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over to this beast over all the earth, and all who dwell upon the face of the earth shall worship him, except those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world." How does Antichrist kill people who don't worship him? Interestingly, by the sword. That's what it says in verse 10. You know what it says in chapter 20, verse 4 of Revelation? "I saw all those who had been beheaded for the cause of Christ." When you think Antichrist, think ISIS, think Boko Haram, think massacre, think the sword. That's what it's going to be like for those who do not worship Antichrist religion. All right, now notice, I read it too quickly, no doubt. It says that he was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Now we're back in chapter 15. "And I saw what appeared to be a sea mingled with fire, those who had conquered the beast." Isn't that interesting? He was able to conquer the saints by having them killed. And even though they're killed, where do they end up? They end up before the throne of God in great victory, harps in their hands, singing praises to God and worshiping him and being in his presence forever. By the way, the last message on this series, which is the next message, is going to be our dwelling with God forever. It'll be much more positive. But the point is simply this: chapter 13, the beast conquers the saints. Chapter 15, we see that the saints are in glory, having conquered the beast. What a difference two chapters make. And now, of course, all of these judgments are thrown onto the earth and onto Antichrist. Is God just in punishing the wicked? I think he is. When you think Antichrist, when you think of the wicked, think Hitler, think ISIS indeed, think terrorist groups. Isn't it comforting to know that someday they're going to stand before God and be judged? And I don't think we're going to say, well, it's too severe. You must recognize also that God, when he judges, judges meticulously. When people stand before him who have never heard the name Jesus, he isn't going to say, well, I'm sending you to hell because you didn't believe on Jesus. That would be unjust. How can you hold people accountable for something that they don't know? The Bible teaches that responsibility is based on knowledge. They will be judged with what they did with what they knew. Now, the Bible doesn't give us any hope saying that everyone lives up to, or anyone lives up to, what they know intuitively with conscience and nature. So without the protection of Jesus, they are in difficulty. But of course, the judgment is not the same. It's not one size fits all by any means. I believe that God is going to so finely tune justice and punishment that we will sing along with these saints forever, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Now, why so much severe judgment, though? The answer is simply this: you and I do not understand the depth of God's hatred against sin. What if Jonathan Edwards, the great theologian, is right when he said that The greatness of a sin is determined by the greatness of the being against whom it is committed. Do you realize that even little sins are big to God? You know that you throw a snowball at your brother, and he'll throw one back, and there won't be a problem. Throw a snowball at a mailman, you could get a little into trouble if you have good parents. Throw a snowball at the police, a little bit more trouble. Throw it at the president of the United States, mucho trouble. Yeah. Sin against God, huge trouble. So the reason that the punishments are so severe to us is we have no idea the extent to which God is holy and hates sin. Something else before I leave, the whole idea of how when God judges people, it shows his justice. I had a Jewish friend who lived in the neighborhood. We used to walk together at times and have great conversations. And he was an atheist. He was an atheist because of the terrible things of World War II, the Holocaust. But I said to him one day, "Are you ever disquieted within? Does it ever trouble you that Hitler and his cronies will never be brought to justice in an atheistic world? Everyone who is unjust gets by without any punishment, with any adjudication." He said, "Yeah, that does trouble me. I think that when we look at the judgment that God is going to have on the earth, we will say, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Well, my dear friend, it's sobering, isn't it? When we think of the justice of God and the judgment of God, these are the kinds of doctrines that are no longer preached today. As a matter of fact, even in evangelical circles, people are very interested only in emphasizing grace. Well, we ought to emphasize grace. But grace only becomes very sweet when we begin to understand the magnitude of God's judgment. You know, when you think of the ministry of Running to Win, I hope that you understand that we try to preach the whole counsel of God. And through your prayers and your support, we are making a difference, because what we want to do is to explain to people the God that exists and not merely the God that we would like to have exist, oftentimes the God of people's imaginations. So I hope that you continue to listen to us, be encouraged, be warned. But of all things, I trust that this series of messages will cause us to worship, because God delights in those who worship him. And we worship him for many reasons, and one of those reasons is because of his justice that will be revealed for all eternity.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Justice of God, the seventh in an 8-part series of messages on the mysteries of God. Next time, why God's justice requires severe punishment, and why spreading the gospel is so crucial. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.